like a shark in a shrimp tank. Big fish, small pond in the shrimp tank. When it's sink or swim, only option is to win. In the murky water, not a thought of giving in. I've been feeling like a shark in a shrimp tank. Big fish, small pond in the shrimp tank. When it's sink or swim, only option is to win. In the murky water, not a thought of giving in. Welcome to the shrimp tank, word to Chris Hanks. Before to put it all together, this is big thanks. Doing big things, chasing big dreams. Yeah, it's all real, this life's all that it seems. All the chicks scream, all the dudes yell. This is just what I do and I do it well. With the flow fresher than the new shoe smell. Going through hell, well homie keep going. You know the saying, you gon' reap what you sow in. So I don't chase girls, I just chase dreams. Play the same game, but we ain't in the same league. Running a campaign, roadie 2016, like a phone to die, putting me in charge. I'm a general from the front, I'ma lead the charge. Like a federal, fell on my lap, never going hard as ever. The results match the effort.
Welcome to the Shrimp Tank. This episode from 11:30 to 12:30 every Thursday morning, brought to you at the studios here at Business Radio X Network, located in Sandy Springs. Ryan, good morning to you as well.
Good morning, Lee.
Where we bring you the best and brightest business owners in the state of Georgia, talking about the do's and don'ts of growing, starting, and creating a successful business. On occasion, and we're very fortunate due to Mr. Hanks's connections, we bring students in to pitch their ideas. I was unable to get Allie to come today, but she will pitch her winning idea on whether
Absolutely.
Or not her business will sink or swim in the tank. My name is Lee Heisman. My name is Lee Heisman with my co-host Chris Hanks. Chris, thank you for joining us today.
Hey, thank you. It's so good to have you in the driver's seat. I'm super pumped and I'm so impressed with Ryan and his exceeding customer expectations.
Absolutely. Yeah.
So, well, Ryan's eating bad, he said, during holiday time, so he wants to throw as many carbs in front of us as possible.
You know, but he presents a good entrepreneurial concept. You know, you always sort of, you know, you promise what you're going to deliver. And then if you exceed it a little bit, that tends to drive customer loyalty. So, you know, I expected water and, you know, I got a Fiber One bar on top of that.
Well, see, and that's you, Chris, the educator. You're always thinking about how to bring entrepreneurship into the mix. And speaking of that, what is happening? We talk a lot about the KSU Entrepreneurship Center. We talk about the Shure Entrepreneurship Center. We talk a lot about KSU 100, but just recently you went through with your classroom a mock KSU 100. Is that correct?
Yeah, we did. We used the class as a prototype to drive the competition, which will end in April, where we will know who the winner is for this year, where we take 100 student businesses, we cut 99 of them and only one left standing. And former guest on the show, Allie, was our big winner with her sock business. And so not only did she get your help, Lee, in her sock venture, but she also got wardrobe help from you as well.
That is correct. She was picking on me because I always wear a t-shirt with a jacket. I tend to promote the Shrimp Tank when I wear a t-shirt or with my organization, Savant. So yeah, Allie, you called her out that her attire wasn't appropriate. She then referenced me, you said, in that event. So maybe that got her the win. We'll soon find out. What is happening with KSU 100 and any new activity going on at the school, Chris?
Yeah, always new activity. KSU Top 100 is ramping up, getting the applications and all. It's always fun and interesting to see how innovative and creative students can be if we just let them be who they were designed to be. So that's awesome. We're seeing a lot of really, really great things. So many things with folks who are sort of believing what we believe about the transformation that can occur through entrepreneurship. So we're getting more and more institutions, more and more schools raced here from Cobb County Schools who we might be working with and doing some things with. So anyway, so many exciting things going on in the world of entrepreneurship.
Well, and if you don't know and you don't listen to the show frequently, KSU has been awarded the first and only degree, a major degree in the state of Georgia. And you are really leading the charge. You also have been the national representative for entrepreneurship for the United States when you were in Romania recently.
In Romania, yep, absolutely. And met with some folks from Norway last week, had dinner, and now going to be writing the curriculum for Western Norway. Not all of Norway, but Western Norway K-12. Which is going to be cool.
Do you ever stop drinking your own Kool-Aid? How does that work exactly when you're
You know what? Entrepreneurship, does it ever stop?
Okay. No, that's a fair point. Well, you know, I always bring a twist on the show prior to bringing our guest on. And, you know, talking about entrepreneurship never stopping, I've known our guest for nearly 20 years. We'll bring him on in a little bit. But I know this individual, he never stops. He's always running his businesses. And I think that's the key to a lot of the young entrepreneurs listening today. He's going to be an exciting guest when we bring him on the show. But Chris, have you ever heard of the application, the piece of software called Evernote?
I actually use Evernote.
Okay, so I'm going to blow your mind right now. You're going to have
are
some
you going to blow my mind?
Yeah, Ryan.
Am I
going
to have to get
this.
A mop because you're about to blow my mind
fifth.
Away?
So, yeah, you may be pleading the fifth. Are you aware that obviously we know Evernote is a note-taking application, organizing and archiving? Did you know just recently, and I always drop a little tech button news on everybody because of my business, Evernote has now announced publicly that their staff and their technicians are now having and gaining access to all of your information.
No, I was not aware of that.
Okay, that is now knowledge. That is now public consumption. Their statement and comment is, we want to provide better support and service to our clients so we can better understand our clients. So this is completely into a data breach type of philosophy.
Yeah.
I will tell you a personal experience, Chris. I want your opinion. About 3 years ago, I was fortunate to have a small meeting with the FBI director here in Georgia. And due to my background in technology, my question in my small group with him was, hey, I manage many networks. Our guest, I actually manage his network. We have access to any and all of their information. I can look at any email or any piece of information I chose to. What stops a Gmail, a Yahoo, an Apple or an iCloud email? What stops their administrators? And we're not talking two administrators or three administrators. We're talking hundreds, if not thousands of administrators from looking at the content when people are using those public email addresses, Gmail, Yahoo, especially Yahoo with their soon and recent 2013 breach. What stops that? And said, we don't have an answer for that. We're aware of it. Let's move on to the next question. So his lack of answer was so compelling. Yeah. Now it is becoming knowledge. Evernote is now officially stated, we're looking at your data. How does that make you feel, Chris?
Well, actually, one of my folders in my Evernote is my passwords, you know, because I tend to forget, and you know, we have so many passwords. And so that doesn't make me feel too comfortable because, you know, that's where I keep, it's like, okay, what was my password for this or for that? It's all kept on Evernote. So that definitely is somewhat of a concern.
Well, you know, one of the contributing editors to Business Insider, Steve Kovach, he tweeted recently, I keep a lot of sensitive information in my Evernote, including interviews with anonymous sources. Me being an interviewer, anonymous sources is the cornerstone of my business. He says, this is bad. This is very, very bad because he has kept that information. You can only imagine what's happening in the future with other people, including yourself.
Yeah, absolutely. And I wonder, just as far as a business strategy, right, to do that, I wonder how many people are going to stop using.
Well, people are starting to dump their information. Evernote actually made another claim. And they said, if you are uncomfortable with what we have decided, you are more than welcome to dump your information and you can move on to another company.
Wow.
Yeah. I'll share two more important things because we're going to run it into Uber as well. Evernote is hardly the first tech firm to have a spotlight over privacy, data collection, and employee surveillance. A new Uber update. Do you use Uber, Chris, or have you used?
Actually, my first Uber ride was in Romania.
Ryan, yourself?
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay, so listen to this. A new Uber update lets the company record a person's whereabouts for up to 5 minutes after the trip is over. So why do you think they want that?
Wow, after the trip is over?
For it to be picked up again.
Possibly picked up again. More importantly, what are their spending patterns? Where are they going to?
Interesting.
We want to garner that information. Where are you going to? You know, Uber people, participants can opt out of this. However, they would then have to start manually entering their address and where they want to be picked up versus using the GPS location.
Wow. Yeah. That's interesting.
So consider, and let me share one final piece, and I'm sorry to go off on a tangent with it.
It's okay.
A lawsuit from a former Uber employee alleges that companies allowed employees broad access to customer data, and then employees used that information in Uber to track ex-boyfriends and to track celebrities. So if you think these companies, Apple, Yahoo, Google, have their employees sign confidentiality, non-disclosure agreements, they may sign them. How much weight do they hold when someone who's making a modest income of $30,000 or $35,000 a year, $40,000 a year, have information and access to your whereabouts, celebrity whereabouts, ex-boyfriend whereabouts? What are they going to sue them for the $40,000 for the year?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So more cutting thing, you consider, you know, the drones and you know, Amazon. UK had its first drone delivery yesterday.
What did they deliver?
They delivered the Amazon Fire TV. It's nice. Maybe about 4 inches by 4 inches. Yeah. From the moment the person hit deliver and purchased, 13 minutes to their doorstep.
Oh my gosh.
They are now doing also drones, just for your information. Chipotle is delivering at Virginia Tech via drone. And reportedly, Starbucks has talked about delivering with drones, but Domino's in New Zealand has started delivering with drones.
Wow.
That's my tech update, guys. Chris, your thoughts?
That's awesome. You know, and I'm looking forward to the day. Imagine, like, say, 5 years from now, people are going to be complaining. You know, it took 13 minutes for Amazon to get here. That's what a ridiculous thing, right?
Well, you know, and I think those people are your students or younger.
Oh, absolutely.
Because the time frame of obviously, at our age bracket, we're appreciative of most of these things. We always want faster, but we have not been genetically developed to demand fast, where these days our children
instant gratification is more and more the trend. If I have to wait for it, you know what, all of a sudden I'm annoyed.
Unbelievable. Yep. Well, you know, we're coming to you live every Thursday 11:30 to 12:30 here at the Business Radio S Networks in Sandy Springs. My name is Lee Heisman with my co-host Chris Hanks. You know, I think it's time to bring our guest on. I've known this man for over 20 years. We talk about entrepreneurship, Chris. He literally, Chris, is in your backyard. His office is less than a quarter of a mile from your campus. That is one main reason for getting him out here is introduced. Rick Zampatti from The Barter Company. Hey, Rick.
Hello, Lee. Thank you for having me.
Absolutely. So, you know, we joked earlier in the segment and talked about how entrepreneurship is 24/7, how you're always available. That's how you've run your business. The Barter Company. Tell us a little about it. Exactly what does it mean? Am I trading a goat for a cup of water or for three milkmaids? How does that work exactly?
That's old traditional bartering. What we do is B2B bartering, where it's business owners and professionals who trade out what they do or what they sell for other types of goods and services.
So elaborate a little more. I mean, I actually personally have experience with Rick. Chris, I've been a client of Rick's through multiple businesses, and we'll talk about that later, for many, many years. So if I were to utilize my technical services and I had people use them, am I only able to work with that individual? Give me the dynamics, the mechanics of how the operation works.
No, that's what makes a barter exchange unique. Is traditional bartering is one-on-one trading. What we do is called round robin trading, where you can provide for me and say I'm a dentist and I get IT work from you, but you don't have to get dental work back from me. We work just like a bank. So the dollars that you generate, i.e. sales, get deposited in your account, and you're able to turn around and use those dollars with any other client in our system. We have 2,500 clients in the Southeast, and we also interface with exchanges all throughout the United States and international through our association.
So essentially, you're a bank.
Correct.
Is that correct? You're just a bank. Someone provides services. And then that person, once they provide the services, have that amount of money in your bank.
Exactly. It's just like cash money, except it's a different currency. It's what we call barter dollars.
So, Chris, this is interesting. You know, most business owners are experts in their respective field that they work in. I'm assuming you and your staff have to almost be experts in 2,500 different fields so you can guide your clients as what services to use.
Exactly. That's what makes it, you know, very unique in our business, because you get to learn all these different professions and industries. And speaking of KSU, we've actually bring in interns from KSU. They make comments that the knowledge that they learn being involved in our company, seeing in real life, you know, how business is done and how all these other businesses run their business, and the insight is phenomenal.
So if you are, you know, somebody's getting credit for providing a service and there's not really cash being transacted, what's the business model for your business and how do you get paid?
Well, we get paid on the percentage. We charge 15%, and it's 7.5 on the buy, 7.5 on the sell. So if a transaction was $100, $100 would go out of the buyer's account into the seller's account, and then they would be charged $7.50 for that transaction. So we get paid on performance. We get paid when an actual transaction occurred. So how our company is structured is we basically have outside salespeople who go out and solicit and sign up clients that we're looking for in particular categories. And in turn, internally, we have inside sales who become a so-called broker or rep for that particular business. They get to know your business. They get to know your spending trends, your personality, your likes and dislikes, and they basically go out and find the goods and services that you're looking for. Because the question I ask people is, if you had to make a purchase, would you rather trade what you do or what you sell? Or would you rather write a check?
Yeah, I'd rather trade what I do and what I sell. Right. I agree 100%. That's why I've been with this man for years. You know, Rick, real quick, you know, a lot of young entrepreneurs will start listening and start to grasp what you do. How did you go from where you were before to this? It seems like such a unique business. I've known you too long, so I wear, you know, rose-colored glasses when I'm with Rick because it seems very easy to me, but this is a very unique business, a very segmented business, you know, the niche business. Where did you come from to get here?
Well, my degree, I graduated with a hotel restaurant management degree. And while I was working for the Marriott many years ago, in the food and beverage side, our coolers and our equipment would break down a lot. And it was never in our budget to get it replaced, but they would always repair it. And repair costs really sometimes became more than what the actual replacement cost was. So I got creative and I took some line items that we were spending cash on, pest control, carpet cleaning, among some of the things. And I traded, instead of us writing a check, I found vendors who would take barter. And we basically just gave them a bar tab in our lounge. And we had about a 20% liquor cost. So I saved us 80 cents on a dollar. I generated enough money that I basically went to my food and beverage director and said, here, I've saved you this much money. Please go buy the coolers, because they would always break down like on a Friday night when we were, you know, at our busiest point. So a light bulb kind of went on right there. And I actually thought I had invented something, didn't realize, you know, this is before the internet and Google, and thought I had come up with a fantastic idea.
What year
idea.
Was this, Rick? Just because most people listening think that the internet and Google have been around forever. Mm-hmm. So when you say before the internet and Google,
this is before most of the college students were even born. This is talking about the late 80s and so forth. So, you know, I thought I was onto something, and everybody was happy. It was a win-win for all. That was a direct trade. And after moving to Atlanta in 1991, I came to realize it was actually companies that did this. And I just felt like this was something that was my call. And here we are in, you know, 2016, and the barter company just had its 20th anniversary back in March, and 2,500 clients later, here we are.
Congratulations.
Wow, wonderful. Right.
So if you get paid on performance, what's the biggest obstacle in signing up new clients?
Biggest obstacle would be, in today's world, it's really just cash flow. How's their business doing? Because one thing, barter is not a life preserver for a business that's not doing well. We tell our clients to keep it about 5 to 10% of their cash flow. That's a good barometer as far as the amount of business that you want to do on barter. You don't want it to be more of that, then it become a deterrent to your cash
right.
flow. So bartering, as far as an industry, got a lot of publicity back in 2008 when we got into a recession, and people thought that our types of companies would flourish. Other than getting us a lot of recognition, you know, we thrive when our clients thrive. So we want their cash flow to be doing well, because I'll give you an example. If you're doing $100,000 a week in sales, and you can do 5% or 10% of that in barter, and then you dip down to say $50,000, well, that also limits the amount of barter they can do as well.
Yeah.
So we like good times and clients that are thriving versus not doing well and looking at barter as a life preserver. So that's one of the obstacles. The biggest thing is it's rather unique concept, and a lot of people have not heard about it. So it's just educating them on how barter works. My father was an engineer, left brain. It took him about 15 years to really kind of figure out the barter concept. He was like, why would businesses give it away for free? But you're not giving away for free. You're providing the goods or services, and you're getting paid in a different currency is all it is. So sometimes it just takes someone a little more time or a different perspective for them to understand the concept.
Well, you know, Chris, you talked about signing up new clients. Well, we're going to take a quick commercial break from one of our sponsors. And I know during the process for Rick's organization, again, I know it intimately, that they have an application and the client has to fill out an application so they can vet that client, as well as the application fee that they pay. And over the years that Rick's had this business, there's been one client that he didn't even fill the application out. His sales manager walked out with a check. How exactly do you barter hotel room services along with a little extra from possibly a escort along the way? We'll come right back here after commercial break.
In business, it's either time or money. How much money does your business lose if your network is down for a day? How much time do your employees waste trying to figure out computer issues? At Savant, we have the experts on work on your network to simply make your company run more efficiently. Macs, PCs, mobile solutions, no problem. Savant's battery life never ends. Call 770-438-6240 today.
Thank you, Ryan. Welcome back from 11:30 to 12:30 here at the Business Radio Networks to the Shrimp Tank. My name is Lee Heisman. I'm here with my co-host Chris Hanks and our guest Rick Zampatti. During the break, we talked right before the break about how you get additional services that may not be above board. And Rick looked at me strangely. And then in about 30 seconds, his eyes lit up and I got some insider information from one of his managers. It's the first time his manager walked out with a check, but no application because they offered a hotel by Spaghetti Junction, hotel rooms. Okay. And they asked if there was any extra services. Rick, are you familiar with that story?
Yeah, I had to go in my archives, in my memory here to remember that one. But that wasn't part of what we like to promote, so we niched that one real quick.
Completely understand.
It was a little odd that that scenario, yes.
You talked about signing up new clients, Chris, and that's why it's nice when you don't even get the application, but you get the money handed to you on the outset. Yeah. In this segment, we call Hot or Not, guys. We're going to throw some topics at you, Rick, that you might find hot or not in the entrepreneurial world. Rick, how much is it hot or not to focus on the culture of your company instead of looking out at new client sales?
Is the answer just strictly hot or not?
You can elaborate if you have some. Absolutely.
I'm going to say it's, I'm both-sided here. Our culture is very important, but you also have to have new clients to support growth. You either grow or you die.
Sure.
So they're both very important to us. So I don't know if I'm giving you
it's a hot answer on both. I like it. It's very important.
All right, just to build on that, culture or strategy?
Culture or strategy?
Right. If you had to only pick one, which one would you pick?
Oh, boy. Culture, I'd have to go with culture because, you know, you spend more time with your employees than you do your family. So you have to have the right culture and have people that can get along and respect each other and work well together.
Yeah.
All right, Rick, hot or not, work-life balance or do whatever it takes to bring the next client in and grow the business?
Well, I think as you mature in life, that answer changes. I would say my balance probably wasn't in line. I know it wasn't in line in the earlier parts of my life. And it is more in line now. So I would say proper balance is important. But when you're growing a business, sometimes you have to sacrifice and do what you need to do. I don't know, always say that's necessarily right, but it is nice when you can reflect and do transitions in your life as needed.
So what about paying out bonuses to employees or bartering a bonus to an employee?
Boom. Chris, I like that.
Well, we actually do both.
So you do both?
Yes.
Yeah. So you will pay out a cash bonus and you also give them sort of bartered services?
Well, they receive a cash bonus and barter bonus. Every bonus structured in our company has tied to both. They get both. So it's like a bonus. I mean, bonus. They get, it's double.
So is the, I'm just curious, is the barter part taxable, I'm assuming?
Correct.
Yeah.
Yes, it is.
And do you charge your own staff the full barter fees for a transaction?
That'd be a no.
That's important. That's very, very important. You know, I have known Rick for a while. I mentioned that, and I'm very fortunate to know him. I have known him and used him through multiple businesses, Rick. So is it hot or not keeping in touch with people, even if they don't or they leave a particular business, and using me as an example?
Oh, it's very hot. We've actually had several clients that have signed up just like Lee and other businesses. And we've had several who've been with us with four different, like up to four or five different ventures. So it's always ongoing. You never know.
Wow. So barter or buy? Why is barter hotter?
Barter or buy?
Yeah. Or
buying
just cash.
Cash.
Yeah.
Got it.
Well, cash is always king. We're basically a secondary currency. If there's a business that is at full capacity, or say a restaurant that's on a wait every night, we're not going to be appealing to them. When you have gaps in your schedule or not selling all of your inventory, that's when barter is appealing. So, you know, cash is always going to be king.
I got one here. Ryan, hot or not, Bitcoin.
Bitcoin, I actually went to the Money 2020 convention in Las Vegas a couple of years ago when Bitcoin was just coming out. And I just couldn't put my arms around the digital currency. Yeah. It was something that nobody knew where it came from. Nobody knew how to get it. Nobody knew how to spend it, but everybody wanted it. And there's not much regulation going on currently with Bitcoin. That will change because in our industry, we are regulated as far as we're required to send out a 1099-B at the end of the year for all your barter sales that you've done. People ask, is that set up a red flag with the IRS or is it a tax liability? And what I tell them is it does not set up a red flag because we're basically creating another currency that's being reported to the IRS. And anything that you use as a business expense throughout the year is tax deductible and a write-off. So if you use it strictly for business and it's basically money in, money out, it's not a tax liability at all.
So how about family members in a business, hot or not?
Personally, I don't. I like coming home and talking about your day. I think everyone should, within a family, should have their own story and own idea or direction they go. My daughter is a natural born salesman, and she kind of jokes around that one day she'll be taking over our business. And she's a senior in high school now, and you just kind of let kids gravitate to what's their interest versus trying to dictate to them what they should do.
But we're going to take a commercial break. You know, I'm going to ask one more quick question, Rick, and it's a quick answer, hot or not. Snakes, specifically rattlesnakes?
That'd be a definitely no.
Fair. Cold. We were going to bring one in the studio for you. I've heard about your affinity for them. So right. We're going to take a commercial break. Hey, before we go there, Chris, think about 2011, since the whole airplane issue. Okay, just think about that. What we could get away with before. I want to find out how exactly you can run through an airport and run into an empty jet plane when no one's there running through security and you don't get put in jail. We'll take a commercial break from our sponsors.
Today's episode is brought to you by Business Radio X and Radio in My Booth. Would you like to have live radio at your next trade show, conference, expo? Now you can with Business Radio X and Radio in My Booth, engaging a target audience on location. To learn more about having live radio at your next event, go to radiomybooth.com. That's radiomybooth.com.
Ryan, thank you so much. We're back here at the Shrimp Tank. If you haven't heard us, you can listen to us on iTunes. You can listen on www.shrimptankpodcast.com. We're shooting our lunch episode from 11:30 to 12:30 every Thursday. My name is Lee Heisen with Chris Hanks at the KSU Entrepreneurship Center. Our guest is Rick Zampatti. And as I mentioned before the break, you know, back before 2011, Chris, it was a maverick world out there. Rick, take just 2 minutes before we get to our plead the fifth section and share with us when you're running late for a flight and you start running through security, how does that roll out? How can you get there, or how did you get there back then?
Well, I think you're referring to before 9/11.
That is correct.
Not 2011.
2011, sorry, 9/11. I apologize.
And apparently you're getting some propaganda from in-house in my office. After 9/11... We were heading to a barter association convention, and the security lines and so forth were very long, and we were very tight on our schedule, and we were running down the concourse, and we actually ran past our gate to the next gate, and we knew we were late, and we thought the doors had shut for our flight, and there was no one there, so we just opened the door and
through the alarms.
Of course, the alarm went off. We run down the gate to the aircraft. And we run on an aircraft that was empty with nobody
completely
on it.
Empty, yes.
It was like a Twilight Zone situation.
What would have happened today if you did that today?
Oh, I'm sure the would be on the news and probably arrested. But we turned around and ran back off and realized we were the gate next door, and and we'd missed a flight, and we actually missed about 3 out of 4 flights after that. And that really is what caused me to get my pilot's license and become a pilot and not have to go through that anymore.
That's brilliant.
Go on my time versus theirs.
So, you know, we're at the section to plead the fifth. It is a constant game and competition in the studio to see who can get you to plead the fifth. Chris usually wins. I'm going to throw a softball up there and say, plead the fifth. Should you marry an entrepreneur or not?
Well, I'm married to one who is not. So,
what would you recommend for CEOs, entrepreneurs out there?
Whatever makes you happy.
Okay, that's a nice.
I'm giving you some like of these answers. The I'm giving you
It's like plead the third. It's halfway. Yeah. Go ahead, Chris.
So, what's the weirdest thing that you've ever bartered?
The weirdest thing.
Was there one that embarrassed you?
It was after the show, Chris, the hotel that I reminded him about. Sure, yeah, exactly.
Gosh, you know, we've done $250 million in trades. It's hard to think of what's, you know, probably when I leave the studio here driving down the road, I'll say, I wish I had brought up that.
Or was there one that I guess maybe a listener would see as an unexpected, like they wouldn't think, like when I think of technical services, that doesn't surprise me. Dental services, maybe that doesn't surprise me. Is there something that would surprise me?
Plastic surgery.
Really? So they've bartered plastic surgery? Wow. Yeah, that would surprise me. I wouldn't expect that.
We've had a joke that, you know, many clients have had their wives' chest enhanced.
For trade dollars. Yes. Yeah. That's literally where you can argue with your wife and say, I work my ass off to get your breasts.
Yes, right.
Literally.
Breasts on barter.
Absolutely. Breasts on barter. So, Rick, your most hated competitor. Feel free to plead the fifth.
Well, fortunately, a lot of them have gone by the wayside.
Okay.
So we've kind of weathered the storm through the years. So I feel like competition does nothing but make you better. You should never take your foot off the accelerator in your profession, or you could get passed.
Nothing.
All right.
That's all right. Fair. We'll move on from that one. Go ahead.
Right. So what do you wish that you understood about entrepreneurship when you started that you understand now?
Working smarter versus harder. Out of the gate, I was one of those who just thought I could do it all, and I did it all. But it takes a team, and it takes other people to rely on and to delegate, and strength in numbers in business.
So, of your business career at the Barter Company, what would you consider your biggest disappointment?
My biggest disappointment in my 20 years with the Barter Company. Mm-hmm. Gosh. You know, I kind of say it's like Frank Sinatra. I have no regrets. You know, I really don't.
Okay, fair.
You know, we could have been bigger. We could have been smaller. But you know what? You take with what you get, and you do the best with what you got. And I really don't have any regrets.
It's wonderful.
So how has entrepreneurship changed you for the negative?
I used to be more optimistic about people and businesses, and sometimes I have my guard up a little bit more today with the wisdom due to the fact that we've had some businesses go out of business on us and leave us owing money. And so you're just a little bit more guarded today.
Yeah.
All right, so Rick, you have no disappointments. What is the thing currently in your career that you are the most afraid of? I'm going to break through this emotional wall that he's put up here by the end of the show. What is the thing that you are currently most afraid of? And then we'll end with Chris for one more.
Well, I think being a Generation Xer, it's really technology. We always try to stay on the cutting edge of technology. And you just fear of what's, you know, I belong to a CEO think tank. And, you know, we talk about what could put you out of business. And so you look at the negative side of things and what can happen. You know, we don't want to be like that Moto photo person in the 90s where, you know, photo processing was huge and everybody used to get their film processed. Now, that's a thing of the past. That's a dinosaur company. I think barter will always be around. But I always want to stay advanced on what's coming out with technology and how it can help or hinder our industry.
Fair. Well, you're looking at me when you say that, so I hope that we do that for you. Chris, we'll give one final question, guys. Time flies when you're having fun, and we're coming up to the end of the show. Chris, we'll end with you.
All right. So your favorite character that best describes you as an entrepreneur?
My best character.
Your favorite character, like from a movie, from a book. How would that, like your favorite character, how would that describe you as an entrepreneur, or the one that best suits you as an entrepreneur?
Chris, you bring the fangs out. These are hard questions.
Well, I have a couple of movies I really like. You know, The Godfather. There was, you know, there's a scene in there.
The Italian.
Being Italian.
Yeah.
You know, never hate always. Your enemies. It affects your judgment.
What are you talking about, Rick?
Yeah. And, you know, Glengarry Glen Ross, I think any salesman loves that movie. You know, it's
the
all
leads.
About ABC, always be closing. So I don't know if you'd say Alec Baldwin in that movie.
Oh, it's a great reference. Very solid.
I like really any movie that that has a selling aspect to it and so forth. So if I have to give you an answer, maybe Glengarry Glen Ross. Yeah.
I love that scene. Chris, I used that scene in your class when I was teaching
you
one
did.
Of the class.
Yeah,
I used that
did.
Scene. I had to, it, Rick, it took me probably many, many hours to find the edited version so there was no language.
and we thank you for that.
Yes. Yes.
I actually saw a t-shirt that said coffee is for closers.
Exactly.
And I
right.
just wanted to order
I like that.
That.
So Rick, listen, if people, after understanding your business, because that seems like a big barrier to entry is, you know, the challenge of just understanding what you do and how it works. And once you understand it, you start drinking the Kool-Aid. How would people get in touch with you, get in touch with your business if they really wanted to be a part of your organization?
Well, they could go to our website, which is thebartercompany.com, or call our office at 770-591-4343.
And calling that office, man, everybody answers the telephone. I've been doing it for 20 years. He has built an environment, a culture there that just sings. And I know people listening out there right now, shout out to Tammy, who's been there forever, and I'm surprised she's still tolerant.
19
you,
of our 20 years.
19 of your 20 years. Tammy, thumbs up to you. I still don't understand how you do it. guys, thank you for joining the show today. Next week, what is it like to be a partner at a law firm of over 300 lawyers and to be one of the most humble people? We're going to have Joe English. Chris knows Joe
yes,
from Taylor English and Duma on next week. We're going to ask him all the questions, try to get all the free legal advice we can next week. Thank you so much for joining us from 11:30 to 12:30 every Thursday here at the Shrimp Tank.
I've been feeling like a shark in a shrimp tank. Big fish, small pond in the shrimp tank. When it takes a swim, only option is to win. In the murky water, not a thought of giving in. I've been feeling like a shark in a shrimp tank. Big fish, small pond in the shrimp tank. When it takes a swim, only option is to win. In the murky water, not a thought of giving in.